are tuned into the Atlanta Life Radio Station, WALR, bringing you the best in talk radio with shows that cover topics to feed your mind, body, and soul. And now we present Soul Inspirations with your host, Christine, in the key of C, and tonight's special guest, Ryan Kilgore. So let's get this conversation started. But first, please join me in a virtual applause as we welcome our host, Christine, on air.
Hey, hey, hello, welcome everyone. Thank you so much for joining us again tonight's show. So glad you could be with us. Before I get started with tonight's show, I did want to take a moment to thank everybody that's been supporting us, supporting Soul Inspirations. We've actually been getting a lot of really good feedback, and I couldn't be more appreciative. So we can't do this without you. So once again, thanks everyone. You know who you are, for your support. And just a very heartfelt thank you from me out to everyone who's listening out there. And so now let's get to tonight's guest. First of all, I do want to say that every guest is very special and important to me. I think every one of my guests has a gift, and they are so generous to come on the show, share their gift with me. And again, I'm so appreciative of that. And tonight's guest is definitely gifted. His name is Ryan Kilgore, and Ryan is actually, he's a world-renowned saxophonist. He's fourth-generation sax player. He's toured most recently with Stevie Wonder's Songs in the Key of Life tour worldwide, of course, and I am so very excited to have him with us tonight. So let's get started. Hey, Ryan, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
We're doing well. We're doing well tonight, getting through. So, hey, thank you so much for taking your time tonight.
Oh, no, thank you. Yeah, it's an honor to be on the show. I appreciate the invite. I was very excited to hear from you guys. So, yes, I am here.
Yeah. Well, basically what I like to do, and I know there are people out there who have not heard of you, and if they haven't heard of you, they will definitely know a lot about you after tonight's show, and I know they're going to be listening to your music. I like to have you start out and just, tell us a little bit about yourself. I did, in my research, I did read that you are a fourth-generation sax player, so let's go back to that. I mean, childhood and get us good started.
Okay. Well, I was actually born in Omaha, Nebraska. My father was in the Air Force, and my mom came up to be with my dad in Nebraska, and I was born. I think I was there maybe a month before I went back to Atlanta. And so most of the pregnancy, though, I was conceived, I guess, in Atlanta.
Okay.
But but I represent Atlanta. I actually want to make Omaha a destination place to go and maybe perform one day and kind of go back to my roots. So my father is a piano player, and he is a musician. His brothers play drums. He has brothers that play drums, that play sax, who Lorenzo Kilgore is the first generation sax player in my family.
Mm-hmm.
And the story goes that he used to play to me as a newborn when I was a little baby. And so to get to 7 or 8 years old, trying to figure out, okay, so why is it that I'm so excited about when my uncle pulls out his horn? Why is this voice, sticking out to me so much, not really understanding where that was coming from. It was just happening. It was just like, it just kind of woke me up.
Right.
And I remember seeing him probably around 7 or 8 down in Macon, Georgia. He was in the Air Force as well. And he was touring with Tops in Blue, which was like an Air Force tour band that goes around and kind of tours and stuff. And he was the lead saxophonist for that show. And I pretty much knew at that point, like, I like that. That is something that interests me. Every time I see it, it makes me glow. It makes me feel good. It does something to me, But I also remember I told you that I have several uncles that play drums. So, when you go to church and you grew up in the South and you go to church and you go to church.
Yeah. You go to church.
Then you go to church. So, but my uncles play drums at the church. So when you're at the church, because my uncle is in the Air Force, I don't see him as much now. You know, and my other uncles that are around me, they all play drums. So naturally, I picked up the drums. Mm-hmm. And I remember my mom's brother went to the Army. A lot of military in my family for whatever reason. But on my mom's side, my uncle went to the Army. And the church that we were going to at the time, Druid Hills Church of God in Christ, we didn't have a drummer. And so one Sunday night, I got on the drums. I took some hangers, and the hangers that hang with the pants, and I took those off, and I made drumsticks.
Oh,
and
my.
And I could barely reach the foot pedal. You know, I didn't even know how to take the seat and pull it down. Like, it was just so, like, honest and just, I'm going to learn how to play these drums.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when music, like, that's when I touched music.
Wow.
So,
wow. And so you were what? You were saying you were about, what, 10 or 11
about,
at that
about
point?
About 10. Yeah, about 9 or 10.
Okay. So you weren't actually playing the sax at that time, or were you?
No, at this point, I was just playing the drums. And then when I went to the sixth grade, or I think it was like the fifth grade, they came around. One day we just randomly had this assembly to come into the cafeteria, and we go meet the band director. And so I was like, okay, well, who's the band director? What is that? You know, and I knew a little bit about music, but I wasn't, you know, totally understanding of what they were saying. So we get to the cafeteria, and there's all these instruments laid out on the tables. And they're like, hey, anybody want to learn how to play an instrument? And for me, by this time, I have other cousins that play the saxophone as well. So it's like three other cousins that play.
Go figure, right?
Right. So I'm like, okay, well, Mom, I'm just going to stick with the drums. You know what I mean? And then my mom's like, no, people love, you know, musicians that can play more than one instrument or at least a different instrument. So why don't you try something? You're still young. Like, try them all if you want. And I wanted to play the trumpet. So I said, okay, I'm going to play the trumpet. As soon as I got ready to sign up, all the slots were taken up. So I'm like, oh. She said I can't play the drums. The tube is too big. Trombone, my arm is not long enough. There's too many girls playing the clarinet and the flute. The only thing that's left is the saxophone.
Oh, my Lord.
So, you know, it's
so,
just...
So it was basically, it was a fluke that you ended up playing the saxophone, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, in a sense.
Not really.
You know, but the moment I first put a mouthpiece to my mouth, it was just pure love. It was undeniable that this is a voice, an extension of my voice. And that's when music started really coming to me. You know, before when I was with the drums, it was like I was flirting with her. You know, it's like, oh, okay, I'm flirting with her. You know, hey, how you doing? You know. But now it's like I'm in a relationship with her when I picked up the saxophone. She became my girlfriend.
What
you
an
know,
awesome
and,
metaphor. I like that.
Yeah.
That's
cool. Now, I mean, if you skip to probably age 14, I've now been playing the saxophone about 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a huge football fan, NFL football fan. And so my grandfather was a diehard Atlanta Falcons fan, so I am a diehard Atlanta Falcons fan. And no matter win, lose, or draw, he supported his teams, and that's one thing that I learned about him, you know, and that I could share with him. But this particular grandfather was a huge influence on the relationship with me with music because my mom was at the time renting a saxophone, and she couldn't afford to keep paying for it, so he went and purchased me one. So there's that connection along that time frame of me now having this, you know, complete opportunity to love something completely. I don't have to, it's not dictated on whether my mom can afford it or not anymore. Somebody blessed me, you know, so it was like, okay, wow. Okay, so I'm getting an opportunity to see God's blessing right in front of my face that affects me.
That's right.
You know, in those moments. And so it's so many different angles, you know, that I can't go, but during this time, I guess, I wanted to play football. And my mom was like, I don't want you to play football. I want you to be a musician. And I was like, yeah, but I understand what you're saying. But look at David Robinson. He played the saxophone, and he played basketball, you know? And so I can play and be in the NFL, too. So I'm just saying, I need you to let me play. And she like, I mean, I hear what you're saying, and this is a great argument that you're having right now, but I'm sorry. You're not going to play no football. Because I wasn't this big guy, you know, I was this little scrawny little dude, you know, I'm soaking wet, maybe 100 pounds. But I had the heart of a lion, you know, I was good. When the guys going back in the backyard and we playing in the fields, and I mean, come on now, like MVP anytime. Like, I mean, I could just turn it on and you know, you got 4 touchdowns. Like, you know, that was the type of competitor I was, you know, even though I was smaller than some of the other guys, but she basically made a deal, and she said, if you get hurt one time, you have to stop playing. So, okay. I'm like, that's kind of crazy because it's football. I get hurt in the backyard, you know? So,
right.
You know, we know this is a part of the game, but my competitive side is not, she's not believing in that because she's never seen that aspect of it. So it's like, ugh. So anyway, I played in a game. First play of the game, I caught a 60-yard pass. I mean, I'm, like, feeling good about myself.
Right.
And then I get tackled, and in the tackle, I fracture my ankle.
Okay, did she set that up or what?
I mean, I was like,
sorry.
I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Oh, man.
And so I'm really tripping at this point because I don't want to go home. I know if I go home and she see me, can't stand on my feet. I can't stand up. My ankle is swollen, you know. And I'm thinking I'm Wolverine back in the day because any other time, you know, I would heal pretty quickly. I'm just saying.
Right.
Now all of a sudden you want to trip on me and we just got out here. What are you doing?
Oh, my God.
So from that standpoint, oh, my God. I mean, so I come in the band room Monday morning.
Yeah.
People are looking at me crazy. Like, what happened? Did you get beat up? Were you in a car accident? Like, people are freaking out, you know, like, oh, my God, you're okay? What happened? You good? I'm like, yeah. Like, why y'all tripping? I was just playing football. Football? I mean, instantly, everybody is just, football? Man, what you doing, man? You a musician. Like, I'm like,
how cool that is, though.
Why
you
won't
know?
Y'all see my vision? I want
and
a
you
Super
know,
Bowl.
That, you know what? Hey, you know how life is. Sometimes people see in you what you can't see yourself.
Absolutely.
And so that was absolutely, and obviously, you know, with your family background and the way things ended up happening with the football and everything, you obviously destined to be who you are today. I mean, you know, sax playing. And, I mean, I was doing research, you know, for the interview, and I saw that, you know, obviously, I guess did you stay in band all 4 years of high school, or remained in the band? And okay.
Yeah, I did. I stayed in the marching band. I got introduced to the marching band in the 8th grade, and I went to Southwest DeKalb High School here in Decatur, Georgia. And, and quickly, you know, latched on to that art form of music and the showmanship and being entertainers. We did the 96 Olympics. We did the 97 Macy's Parade. We went to France. I was a part of a band in high school where we did weddings. So my first professional gig was that next Saturday. The Friday I got hurt, the next Saturday I did my first wedding. I got paid $100 to play somebody down and out. And then that's when it is like music hit me again and said, hey. Hey.
Hey, hey. I'm making cash here.
You can buy your new pair of shoes when your ankle heal up.
And guess what? When you're standing there playing the sax, nobody, your ankle's not going to break.
No, because I did it in a half cast sitting on a stool, you know? So it's like,
oh my God.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, at that point, it was just like a lot happened really quickly for me to realize that music was a major part of my life. So
yeah, and then I did see that when you when you went to college, what was it,
Clark Atlanta University.
Yes, I read that you were actually the first freshman to be drum major. Is that what happened?
Drum major, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, second semester of my, they have drum major tryouts, for different people, and the requirement was that you had to march at least 1 year in the band. So I marched my freshman year in the band, and then that next semester was drum major tryouts, and I was like, well, this is something I've always wanted to accomplish. I wanted to accomplish it in high school, but didn't get the opportunity. So here's my opportunity to be a leader. I have an opportunity. And I know where I came from. With Southwest DeKalb's legacy and the imprint that it had on me as a musician to go. I mean, that group of band directors pushed us so hard that everybody that has been through that band program has become someone great. But I can point to at least 10 individuals right now that come from my high school that were in the band that are now great citizens, that got great careers, lawyers, mm-hmm. doctors, dentists, because it was just that. So when I got to Clark, I had a band director, Mr. Young, who I didn't even realize was recruiting me throughout high school, until it hit me. Like, oh, he's been following me throughout high school. He's been paying attention to me. And that's what made me go to Clark. Was that the fact that somebody wanted me. It wasn't just like, just I'm part of this section that has 40 saxophone players in it. I'm not really missing in that number, but when it's only 10, I mm-hmm. matter. So when I got to Clark, I was just destined to be a leader in that situation. And I wanted it, and I knew that I needed it at the time in my life. Being, out of high school, you're pretty much on your own now. You're in college and, people are expecting you to be responsible for your own situations. And, are you going to strive for greatness or are you just going to be mediocre? Or are you just going to just be there? You're just going to exist? Like, what are you going to do?
And absolutely.
So, it sprung like a wildfire. Everything that was going on campus, I was playing for. I even had a little, somewhat of some issues, with certain people in the music department where it was like, they had been there or just didn't believe in, this new guy just coming and taking all the gigs. And I wasn't trying to take all the gigs, but I was so used to performing. I was already doing, gigs from 14, so.
Right, and it sounds like you obviously, you have fire in you, you're very confident. And you were good. And so, sometimes that happens. You get into an environment where, people probably were there for a long time. Here you walk in the door and you're like, hey, And so sometimes there's a little bit of conflict there. But you obviously, blew through college with just some amazing accomplishments and that kind of thing. I know that when I was doing my research, I did see, obviously, graduated college, probably had a regular, quote unquote, regular job. And then, but what I saw was that you had a job and then you quit it. And literally within 1 year, you found yourself touring with Stevie Wonder. how does this happen? It's a God thing. In my life, that's how I look at my life.
Yeah.
I believe that God does place people and situations in our midst, and we can be open to that or not. So, how did that happen?
Wow. Well, as you can imagine, from college, we did Drumline. I did Fighting Temptations. I did Country Bears. So the profession had started grabbing me as I got older. And so by the time I got to January 1st, 2006, the month before December, the month of December can be a weird month, but it's a great month if you're just blessed to have a lot of good relationships when it comes to the holidays. And so mm-hmm. the month before, I had a gig from Wednesday through Sunday every single week of the month. It was amazing. Like it was like wow. Like and I was still working security. So this was me working from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. and then going mm-hmm. and doing gigs every night from Wednesday through Sunday and playing at church on Sunday.
Wow. Yeah.
So it was. I was like, okay, so this is how we gotta we got to do as much as we can because it was just me. You know, you got
right.
to, you know, just go out. So I'm working, I live in a double life, though, because of my
uh-huh.
work in the day is I'm working at this, you know, condominium where it's 125 millionaires that live in this building.
Right.
So it's some other things going on, you know,
exactly.
work-wise. So,
uh-huh.
but I'm so focused on the music that I can't figure out, you know, like now I'm not doing my job good enough.
Right.
You know, and then so it's like, okay, all right, so we got to make a decision. Because God is showing you that you can live comfortable with your music, and he's already shown you that. He's shown you that since you were 14. He continues to show you that it's okay to do music. He will supply
right.
your need. So
absolutely.
I made a yeah. decree, you know, that June 1st, 2006, I would leave my job. I didn't
mm-hmm.
care if the building blew up, if I got fired,
mm-hmm.
if I fell asleep on the job, if I was late too much, or whatever the situation is, it's cool.
Because
mm-hmm. on June 1st, I'm out of here.
Right.
And I basically, you know, again, when, you know, I talked earlier about growing up in church, you know,
mm-hmm.
we talked about having faith, you know, you got to have faith in
oh,
God.
Yeah.
You got to have faith in
mm-hmm.
God.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, you got to have faith in God. You got to have faith in God. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had faith in God all my life,
mm-hmm.
but nobody's ever talked about using faith.
Mm-hmm.
So it made me start questioning and looking at different circles of people that I had been around and saw that they were blessed, but they were just having it. And the people that were using their faith, they were going much further away. They were going, they were reaching out much further. The mass of people they reached was much further. So here's my
Amen.
Opportunity. Here's my opportunity to use my faith by leaving my job.
Mm-hmm.
God, you said my music, my gift will make room for me. I'm giving it all to you. Here it is. Please, take it. You can have it.
Surrender.
What you want me to do?
There you go. Right.
And it just, you know, it opened up. I didn't know at the time, but looking back, you know, retrospect, it opened
right.
up so many angles and avenues and places in God that I never knew or had never discovered. You know,
mm-hmm.
so now I'm totally living off of music. I'm totally living off of trying to figure out what is my way in music. What am I supposed to be doing? And one day he told me to write him a letter. And so I wrote him. Well, I didn't just write it, but I kind of fought a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
because, you know,
as
when,
we do as humans.
Yeah, we do. Because
yeah.
the first time he says it, you know, I'm like sitting in my room and I'm chilling and I'm actually trying to write a song and because
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to be productive, you know,
right.
whatever that means. And
right.
he's like, write me a letter. And I'm like, man, that's not what you just said. I didn't even hear you say that, first of all. Whoever that is talking to me.
I did not hear that. Okay.
And so at the time, I had a roommate and I went out there and to him, I said, hey, man, I think God told me to write him a letter. And he's like, and I'm thinking he going to talk me out of it. He going to like, man, you crazy. Man, you stupid, man. Quit playing, man. We got to be, man, whatever. He ain't say none
mm-hmm.
of that. He was like, well, you better go back in that room and write your letter. Ugh.
There you go.
So now I went back in that room.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was no way out of it. It was
right.
It was no way out of it, you know. And he just basically told me to write him a letter of everything I desire, you know, be detailed about what I wanted to give and what I wanted to have and the desires of my heart and just anything I could think of that I wanted to have a conversation with God about.
Mm-hmm.
And those things, you know, I put them in that letter and I put it in the mailbox and I mailed it to God. You know, so that was another thing of using my faith. That was another thing
right.
that he was showing me how to use my faith. So I said, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So then about a month later, my mentor at the time, Mike Phillips, hits me up and asks me how my horn was playing. And I'm like, I mean, it's cool, you know, whatever. But at the time, someone had just given me two new horns.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm confused because one person, I played for her album. She was doing a tribute record to her husband, who was a sax player. His name was Paul Taylor. He was a sax player.
Mm-hmm.
He had died 8 years prior. And she called me one day and she said, "You remind me so much of my husband, I have to give you something." And she went and got his horns and brought them to me and gave me his horns. And they had been sitting in the garage for 8 years. And then now my mentor is calling saying, "How's your horn playing?" And then I'm like, "What's going on?" I just get a tenor and I get a soprano. And then I have an alto already, but it's an old King Zephyr, 1966, something crazy, you know. And I call him back one day. I said, "Why did you ask me about my horn?" He said, "Well, I got a new horn line, you know, new signature series coming out, and I wanted you to be the first one to endorse it."
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I'm sorry. What does that mean? That means I send you the horn. Oh, okay. So that Monday, I'm like, "Okay, so what am I mean, what? And then on Wednesday, FedEx is like, "Hey, here's your horn." So now I've just been given horns just to be, like, just out of nowhere, two different separate situations just gave me horns.
Right. And, you know, I've experienced that in my life quite a bit. And it's been when I've surrendered. It's been when I've been in probably the deepest part of my faith walk in my life. So I can totally relate, and I know that our listeners absolutely can relate to this.
Absolutely.
I feel like I'm in church right now with you. I absolutely love it. I mean, it's amazing because things come out of nowhere, like you said. And it seems like what you've told us so far is that, you know, with your mother and the guidance that she provided and the football story and just how things have come down, it almost seems like you've been, like most of us, all of us, we're human. We try to exert our will in our lives, and, you know, we do have a will, but sometimes we do need to surrender it to God's will, to be used for His glory and to use our gifts, which is how I started out the show tonight, you know. You just have such amazing gifts. So yeah, obviously the sax and the horns, and it's just amazing. Yeah.
I mean, it's you know, so from that point, my college band director, you know, calls me out of the blue and he says, "Hey man, two things." He says, "One, I got this guy I want to put you in contact with. He needs a band for a gig." I said, "Okay." So he can give me the guy's name. I call the guy. The guy's telling me, "Oh, I need a, I got a pool party. Need you to play for." And I said, "Okay, cool." So I called Mr. Young back. And I said, "Okay, so what was the second thing?" He was like, "God told me to tell you, get your passport." And I'm like, "But I don't have nowhere to go. I don't have nowhere to go." And he was like, "That's not the point.
Just get it."
Just get it. So now I go back to the guy with the gig, and I figure out a way. I found out how much a passport costs, about $200. I said, "Well, this gig got to pay for his passport. That's how I'm going to get this passport," because I didn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
I hired two musicians. I paid myself, I paid them, and then I paid for the passport. And then time is moving on. Now it's like October. So then we get to December. Well, in between those times, my mentor Mike Phillips calls and says, "Hey, Anita Baker's looking for a sax player. I need you to go to the studio and lay down, like, do a version of her, you know, song, a cappella, mm-hmm. so they can hear." Mm-hmm. And then by the time I get in the studio and I'm just not laying down this song, all of a sudden I get the phone call. "Hey, they decided to go ahead and go with somebody else. So don't worry about it." So, of course, I'm like, "Oh, okay. Okay, well, you know, what do I do now?"
Yeah. Well, and as you know, I mean, again, in the walking in faith, we do know that when we get to a point where things are seemingly, you know, kind of going well and just, you know, just motoring right along, you know what happens. And so that's testing our faith. That's
right.
Saying, "Okay, what you show us what you got.
Show us what you got." Yeah.
That's
yeah.
right. And you obviously have, you did.
Yeah.
What year are we at that point? I mean, because
We're still in, you mean at that point of where I left off? Is that what you're asking?
Well, Yeah.
So this is still 2006.
Oh, wow.
So this is
okay.
Like October of 2006. And going into December, I've already tried to audition for Anita Baker. I've already flown out to L.A. to audition for Justin Timberlake. Nothing is sticking.
Mm-hmm.
Like nothing is happening. And then all of a sudden my mentor calls again. He says, God must really love you. And I'm like, okay. He says, well,
mm-hmm.
I'm in Vegas with Prince until May.
Mm-hmm.
And Stevie Wonder just called and asked if I could play, and I can't. Would you like to fill in for me?
Oh, brother. Holy. Oh, my gosh.
I'm sorry. What?
Let me get up off the floor.
Like, how do you expect me to respond to that?
Well, amen, brother, because you know what, Ryan, I tell you again, when all of those little, you know, like you said, Anita Baker, wow, amazing woman, amazing talent,
yeah.
You know, Justin Timberlake, but you know
yeah.
what? God had Stevie Wonder in your future.
Yeah, you know.
No disrespect
and
to the other artists,
no,
of course.
Absolutely,
you know.
absolutely.
Right.
And so you go through the process, but one of the first questions he asked after that was, do I have a passport?
Oh, my God.
Because the first six shows with Stevie Wonder are in Japan.
Wow.
You know, and it's just like.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're like, what? So every time I take a step, you take, like, 20 or something? Is that how many steps was that? Stevie Wonder, how many steps was that, God? That's a question
right.
that just came to my mind. Oh, my God. That's a blessing. Yes, how many steps was that? You know? Because I took one by getting the passport. You know what I mean? Because I could have spent that $200 on something else.
Oh, absolutely. And you had nothing, you had no reason to think you even needed a passport at the time.
Yeah.
And you were absolutely walking in faith. I
can
completely relate to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So now, but I have to learn the parts now. So my mentor is in Vegas. So I have to fly out to Vegas to go learn these parts. So I bought a ticket. And I went out there and I learned the parts from him. And I recorded the parts. And I made sure that I was able to, you know, like, know my music, and then when I get out there, now we're scheduled for 3 days of rehearsal in L.A. So this is my first time in Los Angeles. You know, it's just like a whole bunch of different things. First time getting per diem, first time coming into a big rehearsal hall, looking spot
right.
where the, you know, I mean, the sound and everything, drums and, you know, percussion and guitar players. And, I mean, this is a band. You in a band. But this is Stevie Wonder's band.
Right.
Oh, wow. Okay, so
then,
you know, now you look up, and after 3 days, you're on this long flight, flying from Los Angeles to Tokyo, and this is, I mean,
surreal.
This
comes
is surreal. This is like you don't even you never knew this existed. I mean, I said I wanted to be a professional musician. I said I wanted to travel the world, but I didn't know God was going to, like, give it to me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like that Christmas gift you want that you don't know if it's going to really, you know, if it's going
right.
to be under the tree. You're hoping
but
that the Nintendo was there.
Absolutely. But you know what? And as I've learned in my life, again, you're really speaking to me, and I know you're speaking to a lot of our listeners as well, but God's abundance is so beyond what we can even imagine for ourselves. We're thinking, hey, I want that. You would have been happy with whoever, but you brought to Stevie, you know. So, his abundance is amazing, and it is to me. It is an affirmation of your faith. You know, he saw. He knew how hard it was to walk in faith, and so he will, you know, reward us for that. So
yes,
wow.
Absolutely. So the first gig we ever did was, you know, like I said, in Japan, and I went to the stage. We leaving the hotel, all the whole lobby call, going through, you know, getting your per diem for the first time, and, you know, getting this big booklet to say, you know, these are all the dates, this is where everything is, this is, you know, and but absolutely not knowing anyone there, you know. Mm-hmm. I was paired up with a gentleman named Chris Johnson, who's a drummer, phenomenal world, renowned drummer. I was playing with Stevie, Sting, Seal, Frankie Beverly Mays, some of everybody. He's Rihanna, some of everybody, you know. And he paired me with him, you know, as a big brother, and he just kind of really showed me the ropes, you know, going there. And so when we get to the first show day, I'm asking where the stage is. Where's the stage? Everybody's like, man, we finna go to catering. I'm like, yeah, but where's the stage? Can I see the stage? Because I've never been on a stage this big. Like, I need to know what I'm getting myself into. Like, what is this? Because I'm playing for 75 people. You know, a couple hundred people maybe in church. You know what I mean? Yes, I've done some stuff. I've been in the movies and I've done some stuff, but I ain't never played for 30,000 people though. Not. And I'm the only sax player. I'm the only one.
Wow. Uh-huh.
So I remember going to that first stage, saying, "God, am I supposed to be here?"
And without a doubt, in my mind.
He says, "Stevie Wonder is just a nugget." And I just, like, calmed down. And I was like, okay. There's a part of me that still wants to say, but it's Stevie Wonder.
Right.
What else could be...
greater.
What else could be greater than Stevie Wonder?
Right. Well, we know.
You know, like... Uh-huh. You know, that those are genuine moments to have, you know, and it's, like, amazing to be like, okay,
right.
You know,
right.
So.
Well, you know, I did want to, I know, okay, so you were with, when was that? Okay,
this was now February of 2007.
Okay, and you obviously, it looks like in my research that, you've made, what, like 3-4 albums during your career? Well, the first one was what, The Conversation with Love? Is that,
yes.
When was that?
Conversation with Love, that was 2009. So Conversation with Love was the song that I was writing when God told me to write him a letter.
Oh.
And so that's how that song was named, Conversation with Love, because God is love. And so I recorded that. That was all of this, if you really think about it, maybe it was like almost like a love letter. You know, I lost my grandfather, like, back in 2004, the one that purchased my horn. And he was like my best friend, you know, and it was like, you know, God, why did you take him from me? You know, all these bad people out here doing stupid stuff. And this man loved you. He loved his family. He was my biggest supporter. Why did you take him from me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And God was like, you know, until you write music to heal my people, then, you know, you're going to be in the same position pretty much. And so when you get to 2006, 2007, 2008, I'm writing. You know, I'm writing music. I'm writing for this record. And, you know, the song like, I Need Your Love, Romance, I Miss You. My Sunshine, you know, when love gets funky, you know, voice over sax, which is, you know, like me realizing that music was the extension of my voice, you know, those kinds of moments of love and just conversation with love. You know, because God is all of those personalities. He's all of those things. So I'm having this huge conversation with love, but music is our language. It's how I'm connecting with him, you know, and that's...
Right.
So,
can I interject?
Yes.
Can I interject real quick here? You're talking about connecting. We actually have a caller on the line that wants to speak with you.
Yes.
And personal friend, I understand. So let's go ahead. And bring the caller on the line to speak with Brian.
Hello. Hey, little brother, this is Alicia.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, Allie, how are you?
I'm doing great. You know I had to call in this evening.
Yes.
Yeah, we have a history. I met Ryan back when he was at Clark Atlanta, and actually hired him for a gig where I was working at the time. Remember that, Ryan? You had to come
I
in
do.
And audition.
Yes. Yes, I do.
As if I really knew what I was doing, right? But I knew he was destined for greatness at the time. I am not surprised at the story and the journey that he's sharing with all of us. And, you know, God had a plan for your life way back when, and nothing happens by accident. So all of the things that you have shared about the football injury and how things have fallen into line, that was God's plan. He was interjecting his plan on in place of the plan that you had, you know, and that reminds me of when people say if you want to make God laugh, just tell him your plans, right? So, God was sitting back laughing at you at the time. But I just wanted to congratulate you on all of your success and tell you how proud I am of you, and that, you know, he actually, Christine, holds a special part in our family because he actually did play at my husband and I's wedding. So
wow.
I'm okay. One of those people whose wedding he did. So we have a history. So, but I just wanted to congratulate you. And also, I just want to ask a quick question, though. Having been on the road with a musical legend like Stevie Wonder, what could you say or share with us was the most valuable lesson you may have learned from him?
I could go so many different places.
I'm sure.
I mean, it's been, you know, we're talking after 9 years of touring, you know, with him.
Wow.
I've lost count of the amount of shows that we've had an opportunity to perform together, DVDs, all kinds of amazing things that have happened. But I would say musically, I would say that music has no rules. You know,
okay.
A lot of people deal with theory, and, you know, and that's great, and it's good to know theory and those kinds of things, but Stevie hasn't, you know, he can't see. So
there is
no theory per se from a book sense.
Okay.
It's more, for him, it's more theory based on feel.
Okay.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, the music has to feel a certain way. It has to feel good to you in order for you to deliver it to the people.
Right.
You know, and he's doing it through love. He's doing it through giving back. He's doing it through, you know, spreading the good news through love. See, everybody
right.
thinks about, you know, right. You know, the gospel is the good news, but the gospel is not just one book. It's,
right,
you know,
right,
it's
right,
multiple
right.
books, so love is a part of God because God is love. So you
right.
can spread the gospel through love
mm-hmm.
using music or other tools or other gifts or other things that you have.
Wow.
And so musically, music has no rules.
Right.
I would
wow.
say personally, I think I've gotten out of it that I deserve to see the world.
Mm. That's good.
I deserve it. It changed my life. It gives me a different perspective,
mm-hmm.
and I'm so proud to say today that my mother, my little brother, and my sister's passports came today because I've been
oh,
on
wow.
them. I've
Whoa.
Been on them and on them. and you know, I was like, yo, y'all gotta get y'all passports so we can go see something.
Right.
You
right.
know. And so now they just got them today, and I'm like, yes,
wow.
thank you, God. Like that's. Those kinds of things I cherish now, you know, and those are some of those moments on tour where you get to be in places where it's only you and maybe three other people had this moment,
right?
You know,
right.
whether it's seeing a sunrise or a sunset or seeing 750,000 people at one time or,
right.
you know, like, you know, it's amazing. So that just enjoy those moments, you know.
Right. I also wanted to say real quickly, thank you for bringing up the point of people using faith versus having faith, because that reminded me of people who may say that they go to church or they know God or they know who God is, and then being in a relationship with Him.
Mm.
And there's a big difference, because
mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people in church that are still lost and empty and don't have that real relationship with their Father. And I'm talking about their Heavenly Father. So thank you for bringing that out. That was very profound, and And I'm so proud of you, and I'm not surprised, and God is going to continue to bless you. You're so anointed. So I'm glad that the sax was the only instrument left, because that's how it was supposed to be.
Yes.
Oh, that is so good. Alicia, thank you so much for
calling in
and your words, and we appreciate you so much.
We'll be calling
God anytime,
bless.
Okay?
Thank you, big sis.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Love you too. Bye.
All right.
Bye-bye. Oh, that was so wonderful. So she played at her wedding, and that was amazing back in the day.
Yeah.
She said you were her little brother.
Yes. And it was funny because my brother, she was working at the Art Institute of Atlanta, and my brother was very interested in videography. And so we were able to work it out for my brother to attend, you know, the Art Institute, and she became his big brother, big sister as well. You know, so she's like, this is like family, you know,
right.
And it's so great to reconnect with her and her husband and their kids. Like now, I'm like, I was there before the children were there, you know, like, and they're like 14. So it's like amazing to see life and, you know, just growth things, you know, again, those finer things that, you know, are incredible.
Right. Well, I did want to, let's fast forward a little bit. I know you've got, in 2015, what was it, late 2015, your latest album that you've released, it's called Just Walk?
Just Walk, yes.
Just Walk. Okay, so what's that mean? What are we walking about? What's that mean?
Well, okay, you know, again, digging in my church roots, you know, say
right.
You walk by faith and not by sight.
Right.
And faith is something that you have to have in order to, you know, well, you can walk without faith, or you can walk with faith.
Right.
You can have faith and stand still, or you can have faith and actually walk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you know, so it's all these different angles to think about it from that. But Just Walk is, if you look at the album cover is me walking with my saxophone, and there's a car in the back, you know, of the picture, and it's smoking.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's saying, okay, so even when you've gone to the place of where everything you've ever tried stopped working,
right?
Just walk.
Keep going. Amen.
It don't matter, because
no matter.
Only way for you to get to your destiny, you got to go. You can't stand still. You can't stand on the side of the road and expect somebody to come out to you when you're in the middle of the desert.
Right. That's right.
Go.
That's absolutely right. And I did want to also wanted to, and actually with your Just Walk album, I just wanted to let everybody know they can download it on iTunes, and they can also find it. I think your website is kilgoremusic.com, so they can find it there as well. And they can check out, you know, follow you on Facebook, Twitter, all the usual places. But absolutely want to encourage everybody to definitely check out your music. I mean, there's so many good songs on there. I've listened to them this past week, Evolution, Just Walk, Innocent Love, We the People. There's so many good ones that I was just feeling the love all week.
Oh, thank you.
I always knew
thank
you were going to be my guest. I was like, I love this. I love this.
Yeah,
I love this dude. And we have you know a little bit more time left, and I definitely wanted to talk about the Kilgore Music Foundation that you founded. Tell everybody about that quickly. Short of 10 minutes to go.
Okay. So yes, the Kilgore Music Foundation was founded in October of 2014, mm-hmm. and I founded this foundation because I wanted to do something to deal with children. I remember even out of all those great moments, every moment wasn't great. You know, sometimes I didn't have a ride home, you know, to get to the cribs. You know, I wasn't really allowed to practice at home. You know, so I would have to go to school early and skip lunches, you know, to go to the band room to keep up with the rest of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't read music, you know, so everything I was pretty much doing was by ear. And if it was by my memory, you know, those things were, I was able to get to that. So then you think about my grandfather purchasing my first horn. So I'm just giving you
mm-hmm.
some little hints of how it gets started. Then you think
mm-hmm.
about the young lady that gave me her husband's horns,
mm-hmm. Right.
And then so then my you know, being endorsed by a horn company, so everything was about these horns. And
mm-hmm.
so what I realized growing up is that a lot of people that put their horns down, they left them somewhere. And it's so many people, if you think about one neighborhood, how many instruments that are sitting up under the bed, in the attic,
oh, yeah.
up in the basement, mm-hmm. up under, in the garage, using as furniture to stack something up on something, and then it's in the closet.
Uh-huh.
What if we took all those instruments and we took them and spread them across the schools in that area? So come, who wants to learn how to play an instrument? Because that's how
right.
I got in the band, you know. I wasn't planning on getting in the band, but that moment happened for me. And it, look how my life got, you know, pushed in a whole nother place from that one day. You know,
mm-hmm.
and so I want to recreate that for different schools across this country, you know,
mm-hmm.
and where we do instrument drives. We're doing one here late April here in Atlanta, you know, where it's going to be a citywide instrument drive. Come bring your instruments, because they're trying to take music and arts and stuff out of schools. So this thing started burning in me to want to do something. How do I do something? You know, and I had other colleagues and stuff that had, you know, foundations, and I saw the example of what a foundation could do, you know, how it could change lives. And I wanted that, you know, I wanted to be able to say that I didn't wait until I was 50, you know, or in the winter of my career to start loving on people and, you know, being a mentor and sharing
mm-hmm.
my story and, you know, giving instruments to kids. Like, yes,
right.
you need, and I would rather you have this than that video game, or I would rather you have this than a gun in your hand, or,
right.
you know, or some drugs, or whatever the situation could be that they're facing in their neighborhoods, you know,
right.
could be an out for them. And
right.
So that's pretty much what I've created the Kilgore Music Foundation to do, to mentor, teach, and inspire.
Right.
And,
I did see on there also there's Kilgore Connects. It connects. It's a mentoring program that you all have that basically connects, I guess, some active musicians with up-and-comers as
yes.
well?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the goal is to get in different areas where we're going to try to help, you know, raise instruments and help with the band program, you know, trying to find the professional musicians that are in that area, you know, and
mm-hmm.
get them to Big Brother, just like the, you know, like the Boys and Girls Club would do or something or whatever. But we're just creating
right.
it from, a musician's standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go give lessons. Go give them lessons. You know, give them something to look at. Give them an example of what a musician looks like. You know, because they need to see that visual aspect of it, that it's successful, that you can live off of this, you can be successful and travel the world. You do need a passport, and let's get one now. Instead
That's
of buying
right.
Jordans, let's get the passport now at 14.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to show people how God blessed me through the foundation by sharing my story and inspiring them
right.
to say, you can be great too. You know, if you really look at it, I just play the saxophone. That's not all of who I am, but me playing the saxophone has allowed me to add 52 pages to my passport.
Right, exactly. And it was never really about the saxophone, you know,
right.
You know, in the bigger picture of life.
Picture.
And so,
of course.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we're running out of time, and I'm so inspired by your story. And I know when you go visit these kids and you talk, I know you leave them inspired, and I know you've absolutely talked to me this evening. I know you've talked to some of our listeners as well. Somebody heard something tonight, and they're going to go with it. And I just love that about you. You're just an amazing person.
Thank you.
And I'm so happy. Yeah, I'm so happy and thankful for your mother for having that for being the parent and telling you, you know, kind of trying to focus you in the right direction. And before we go, I just, again, just want to let everybody know that you obviously, you live in Atlanta, so you do play locally in the Atlanta area. So they can, you know, they can probably visit your webpage again. It's KilgoreMusic.com. Find out where you're playing, or they can follow you on Facebook or Twitter. I'm correct.
Instagram. Yeah, Instagram. You can, I'm usually more active on Instagram. So you
okay.
can do Kilgore Music, and then you can
okay.
also do Kilgore Music Foundation as well for Twitter
okay.
as well as Instagram and Facebook as well, and like our page.
Okay.
Yeah. So thank you so much for having me.
thank you. It's my honor. And again, I want to remind everybody that they can download your music as well on iTunes, and they can also check out AtlantaLifeRadio.com. We're going to have the links up to listen to your music as well on there. And again, the latest album being it's called Just Walk by Ryan Kilgore. So Ryan, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. And come back again. We'll invite you, and we'd love to talk with you again sometime. Okay.
We'd love to be back. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Okay. Well, that wraps up another show of Soul Inspirations. Again, like I said, there are various ways to hook up with Ryan Kilgore. Amazing man. He's absolutely touched me tonight, and I think he's probably touched a lot of you out there as well. So once again, as always, thank you all for listening. I'm sending much love, peace, and harmony to everyone out there. Encourage everyone to just remember to be the best they can be. And as always, live your life in the key of C.